Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. May I ask, do you know anyone still living who is nearly 100 years old? How would you describe that person? I know one very dear lady who now is 100. She lives in a quaint little cottage she and her husband built many years ago with their own two hands, with the help of their adult children. She's Norwegian and has lived in America many years, but speaks English with a very strong Norwegian accent. She actually downhill snow skied just a year or two ago. And oh my, what a woman of great faith and prayer. She's loved and revered by many, many people, including my wife and me. If you live to be 100 years old, what will your legacy be? We're traveling with Abram today. We come to Genesis 17, one of the most important chapters in the Bible. You'll see it opens with this statement. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. You'll notice chapter 16 ends with this statement. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. So that means the white space in your Bible between the end of chapter 16 and the beginning of chapter 17 is actually 13 years of time. I invite us to step back in time into that white space in your Bible. The location is the region of Beersheba, about 50 miles south of modern-day Jerusalem. Abram has become fairly wealthy in sheep, camel, goats, and other animals his herdsmen, servants, are raising for him. He and his family live in several large tents while his servants are out with the animals. Abram and Sarai have been married a long time, but she, at age 89, remains childless, even though God promised them a child nearly 25 years before. Hagar, their Egyptian servant, has been living with them for nearly 20 years. And then there is Ishmael, now 13 years old. Abram's only child, Ishmael's birth mother, is Hagar. Abram loves his son, and we can easily imagine that these 13 years have been tremendous for old Abram, now nearly 100. He has been grooming his son Ishmael to take over the family business. Hagar and Ishmael live in one tent, Abram and Sarai in another tent. But in our modern terms, we'd say they are a blended family. I'm sure you can imagine the feelings these two women have toward each other. Then suddenly, an encounter between God and Abraham, which was totally unexpected. Was it a vision, an apparition, a dream? I don't know, but what I do know is this. Abram was having a dramatic encounter with Almighty God, and he knew it. As far as we know, God had been silent during those 13 white space years. Now, the first thing God did was introduce himself to Abram by a name Abram had never heard. I am El Shaddai. It is translated into English as God Almighty, or the All-Powerful, All-Sufficient God. You'll notice God calls Abram to live in holiness as he continues growing in his relationship with God. Walk before me and be blameless, God said. Do you see Abram's response? Abram fell face down. You've perhaps seen Muslim men in their prayer posture, face down, on their knees, in submission before God. This is the posture I believe Abram took. Moses did the same several times. Total humility before holy, almighty God. May I ask, as you enter worship and prayer before Almighty God, what is your physical posture and the attitude of your mind and your heart? History is about to be made in this God-Abram encounter. The record says, God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you father of many nations. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now are an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Genesis 17, 4-8. My friends, do you see four covenant promises that God made to Abram here? Do you notice they are not conditional? These are unconditional commitments made by God to Abraham. First, Abram would forever be known as Abraham, the father of many nations. Second, Abraham would have a multitude of descendants who would become many nations. The word nations means distinct people groups. Today, all Jews, all Arabs, and many other peoples view Abraham as their patriarch. Since the days of Genesis 17, this has become hundreds of millions of people scattered all around the world. Third, God was establishing a spiritual covenant with Abraham. A spiritual relationship was being established in this moment. God was committing himself to be all Abraham would ever need spiritually and challenging Abraham to devote himself to worship and live in spiritual relationship with only one God, El Shaddai, the Almighty God. In fact, to this day, God is often distinctively referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God was making this spiritual covenant for Abraham and his descendants. Fourth, God was designating the whole land of Canaan as an everlasting homeland for Abraham and his descendants. This is a territorial covenant of land with Abraham and his descendants forever. Please notice, Abram had not yet even said one word. God had not asked any questions of him, nor engaged any discussion with Abram. God was making declarations, covenant action declarations, four specific things that God would do for Abram and his descendants. But then God declared this to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. Every male among you shall be circumcised. This will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised." Genesis 17:9-12. Do you understand, my friends? Abraham was expected by God to receive God's covenant promises and to live his life now within these truths. He would no longer live as Abram, married to Sarai, with only a surrogate son in his house. No, Abraham would now live in the reality that before long there would be thousands of people who had descended from him. Thus he would start living like a patriarch of a big family. Also, Abraham would live in a dedicated relationship with God. Abraham would give worship to no other god or idol. And finally, Abraham would live in the reality that all the land, as far as he could see in any direction, was now his inheritance from God, who had created it. And he would care for it as his land, requiring his care. Furthermore, Abraham was expected by God to take a permanent action which would evidence his acceptance of and commitment to this unchanging covenant with God. Abraham would take upon himself the unchanging mark of circumcision. Have you ever wondered why? Why would God come up with circumcision as the sign of the Abrahamic covenant? Why not a tattoo on the forehead or a scar on the cheek for everyone to see? May I offer you these thoughts? First, this circumcision act makes an unchangeable change to the one part of a man's body which is used in creating the next generation, sons who will carry on the covenant. Second, since sexual immorality is the sin that brings more dishonor and damage to the holiness and wholeness of family and marriage and is such a defilement of the holiness of God, as a circumcised man approaches any sexual act, he is reminded of this covenant with God. Third, while the circumcision is normally unseen by anyone other than the man himself and his parents when the mark is being applied, and later his spouse, the covenant is evidenced by a lifestyle, by attitudes and priorities, values, and living worship of God, which is God-honoring. Isn't that the same with our relationship with Jesus Christ? There's no visible mark showing the world I'm a Christ follower. It's my lifestyle, my attitudes, my priorities and values, and my living worship of God. Now let's pause right here. Even though there's more in this covenant conversation between God and Abraham, I think we'll dig into that tomorrow. For today, may I ask you, honestly now, are there hopes and dreams that you once had, that you felt maybe God had planted in your heart, that have long ago been buried under the sands of time? Are you living today shackled by the consequences of poor decisions made in your past? May I suggest El Shaddai knows far more about your situation than you do, and perhaps he's ready for you and he to have a long conversation about how God sees your future. What might that be like for you? Could I invite you to find a quiet place and meet with Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do a healing work in your life today? I found another great song from Charity Gale reminding us that when we come seeking God's help, mercy pours out like a river from the Holy Spirit, and everything comes alive there. This song may help you in this important encounter with Holy God today.